You have a face for radio. Radio gorgeous, that is.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war. But it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
My name is Joan Whittefield, and I'm a documentary filmmaker from North Carolina.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Joan.
Thank you.
Your film, Rainy Season.
Mm-hmm.
Introduce us to Rainy Season.
Okay. Rainy Season is a short documentary, and it comes from my many years of working in Vietnam with bomb victims. I have a background in psychology, and so I was working with bomb victims starting in 2002, and every year I would go back and meet more and more families who lost people or people who themselves had accidents and lost their legs or arms or eyesight usually and got eviscerated. And I kept saying to my colleagues, people need to know about this. These are our bombs.
Okay, so these are, you're working in Vietnam, and these are bombs and mortar that the Americans dropped in Vietnam in the 60s.
Exactly.
And early 70s, and is still unexploded, uncollected, and still doing harm.
Exactly. And to give you a little idea about the problem, we in our country dropped 8 million tons of bombs on a country the size of New Mexico.
Wow.
10% of them are unexploded, it's estimated. And so one-third of the land, I'm giving you a lot of numbers, but one-third of the land in the central provinces is covered with unexploded bombs. So when I first started going there in 2002, there'd be a serious accident every single week, and multiple people would be killed or maimed. And so and the bombs that kill children the most are cluster munitions, and those are balls, which are very appealing looking. They look like a toy, and so children, especially boys, pick them up and play with them, and then they might not detonate for a long time, but then after the fourth day they might explode. And there have been many situations where multiple children have been killed at one time, you know, in a school setting.
Wow.
11 children or something like that. So this problem that we know nothing about in our country was bothering me, that our media did not cover it.
What drew you to this work in the first place?
Oh, good question. Well, I was asked to go there because my expertise in psychology is trauma. And I worked a lot with people who were sexually assaulted and had various psychological traumas. So I would go out to actually three countries, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Burma. And actually the Burmese refugees who were on the Thailand side, and work with them with their trauma. And I would also teach the staff and doctors and about trauma. They knew way more than I did in so many ways, but I taught them some of the neurological underpinnings of it. But so I was going there once a year for several weeks. And every time I left, I just thought, wow, this is amazing. I felt like I was in a war zone, and yet we don't know anything about it. So
it was an undeclared war at the time, and it still is.
Exactly. And that was, you know, now it's 40 years after the war ended, is we're coming up on next year. So I decided to make the film because I believe there needed to be a film about this. And so I had the access. And we had, the Vietnamese government is very wary of media. And so we had to sneak in. And I got a crew together, and we did four shoots to make this 20-minute film. We're actually doing a bigger film, so we have other footage that we're using for the bigger film, but it took us 4 shoots because we could only visit. The film is about one family.
Yes, it's one family.
Yes,
it's 7-year-old boy.
Yes, it's a very intimate story about them. And the reason I decided to do it that way is because so many of us know that there are landmines, there are bombs that kill people, but how many of us have met a family that has gone through this? I hadn't. I didn't know anything about this. So I wanted to make it very small and intimate so that people would feel the next time we declare war or talk about war, the next time that we will think about what bombs really do to people, and they kill people. Mm-hmm. And so when I decided to make a film, and I went to film classes and got a crew together, I hired the best cinematographers that I could find because I knew a lot of them, and so I hired really good ones because I knew we had very few shots, you know, to get these great shots that while we were there. So the first family I thought of was this family that's in the film, because when I went to visit them as a therapist, I was so moved by this mother who lost her 7-year-old son because he picked up what she thought was a piece of firewood and went into their little cottage where they nap as farmers during the afternoon, and it explodes. And so I was so moved by this mother who one minute smiled at her child and the next minute saw an explosion and had to witness his death. And I met her not too long after he died, and because the NGO, the non-governmental organization that I was working with, gave them some help. And so that's why I went over there to meet with them and talk to them. And she was just a very compelling person, very poor, rubber tree farmers, and she had 2 other sons, and I just was so drawn to her, so I decided to make her, you know, one of the subjects in this film.
A couple of things occur to me, because I did study the Vietnam War in college, and one of the things that just made me so angry was, you know, we had veterans speaking to us in the class, and they had been very affected by Agent Orange. And my point at the time was like, yeah, and you came home, and there are, you know, there's a whole jungle that we sprayed with this stuff, and they're still there. I didn't think about the bombs, and it occurs to me because this is happening to rural farmers. So while the land has come back and they have recovered from the Agent Orange to some extent, although I'm sure that's, you know, there are lasting cancers and illnesses, this, you know, is a complete, it literally hadn't even occurred to me.
It hadn't occurred to me either.
Yeah.
Who would even think about this? Because we don't hear about it.
We don't hear anything about it.
And we carpet bombed that country, you know, that was one of the goals, was
that
to
was
just kill
strategy.
As many people as we could. And our, you know, the numbers that we hear is that upwards of 3 million civilians died in that war, and they're still dying. And Agent Orange is still a problem there. It's still a problem for vets here.
Yes.
And because their children are being born with anomalies, and it's a huge problem. But as you're saying, who even thought about the bombs? And yeah, we think about landmines, but landmines are a very small problem in Vietnam. It's like you mentioned, mortars, 1,000-pound bombs, white phosphorus shells, cluster munitions, and other things, you know, 2,000-pound bombs, you know.
Wow.
That might be underground, and someone lights a fire to burn garbage, and it explodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
And there is a reticence. I mean, I think there's some of the reasons for the Vietnamese government's reticence in proclaiming this are positive. They have... in some ways, they have wanted to present a positive face and to move on and, you know, to get on with life. However, that is hiding these and masking these huge problems for their civilians.
Yes, they don't talk about it very much. And in fact, I met many people in Vietnam in the cities that knew nothing about this as well. And there are about, I'd say, four NGOs that are actually demining. They're actually doing clearance in Vietnam. And they're from England, MAG, mine, and also Germany and Norway, and also this country, America. And so the demining is very key to solving this problem. And the organization that I was with, ClearPath International, is doing victim assistance. And they're very effective. They do a great job.
Yes, because trauma is one of those things that is like a bomb. And trauma can also go off later.
Exactly, exactly. And what happens in Vietnam is if one person is injured, what it means is that another family member is going to have to go to the hospital with that person, and because they don't have meals there for people, you have to feed your own family member. So that takes two people out of the home, and so the economic creation of economic wealth is, you know, two people are taken out.
Right.
And then they have to spend a lot of money. So everybody, there's a cascade, or there are a cascade of problems and trauma, nightmares, you know, sometimes alcohol and, you know, increase of alcohol use and anger and so many issues. And so the victim's assistance helps to pay for hospital bills and, you know, just gives so much help in so many ways, scholarships, and just it goes on and on. It's an incredible organization, ClearPath.
Is one of the problems of this as well, as you said, that, you know, people even in the cities in Vietnam don't know, is one of the problems is that it's happening to poor rural farmers?
Exactly. It's happening to the poorest of the poor. And it's also happening to scrap metal collectors who are also very poor. And the reason they collect scrap metal is because they need money. And the price of steel and other metals has gone way up because China is doing so much construction. So they will do it to help their families, but then, you know, they will... You know, I've gone to funerals of two men who were trying to take a bomb apart and they died, and I went to their funeral that afternoon and watched both of their families, you know, mourning and wailing. And they take these risks because they think it's going to pay off and they think they're going to get away with it one more time. And you know, I've treated many families that have had these deaths that way and have taken children out with them because they left the children. They don't think about all the safety issues. And children, especially boys, get into huge trouble with bombs because they're so appealing and they just can't. Even though they've been had education and every year in school they tell them, don't touch bombs, don't touch bombs. They still see something and play with it because it's so appealing and so fascinating. And that's what happened to Tien, the boy who died in the film. In the family that we filmed, he saw it and he thought, I don't know what he thought it was because no one could ask him, but the mother thought it was a piece of firewood because she asked him to collect firewood. And he was out looking for a grasshopper because he wanted to go fishing and catch a big fish like his father did. So, and that's the danger that they are facing, a mother has to face. You know, her 7-year-old child finding a bomb instead of a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's marginal people, then the government's not going to risk, you know, the ire of the United States by pointing it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's left to you.
Maybe they feel, like you said, that they would lose face if they were to talk about that.
And that they hadn't taken care of it. Or.
Right. And they did, in the very beginning after the war, people died, many, many people every week from unexploded ordnance. They did clear a lot in the beginning. Because I talked to people who used to live there, who were living there right after the war, and they said it was just awful, you know, every day almost.
Yeah, well, now it's every week. But that, you know, it's better, but in 40 years, we need to make some more progress.
And there is progress being made. When I made the film, even in the last year, it's improving finally. There is finally a dent made. But sometimes they will find, you know, 15 pieces of ordnance in a schoolyard when they are sent to that site to really work on it. And when there's a construction of a hospital or something, they'll find hundreds.
Wow.
And it is amazing.
Wow. And you'd think if it were, you know, if it were something like an archaeological dig, you know, there'd be people on it, you know?
Right.
And yet since, you know, and it is an archaeological dig of in some way, it's just an incredibly dangerous and volatile one. How has this changed your life?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that that when I go there, I do feel like I'm in a war zone, and I feel like I know more about the world now and what people in other countries go through when we are in a war with them, even though this is way past the wartime. And since then, I've gotten very interested in all kinds of films about Vietnam and what the war was like. And we named our nonprofit Hearts and Minds, M-I-N-E-S, but it's an homage to the film Hearts and Minds, M-I-N-D-S, which was made in 1973, I believe, and it got an Oscar in 1975. But that was the only film that showed the civilian side of war. It was a brilliant film done by Peter Davis, who's now, you know, I've been friends with him. And then there's another film after that that was done about 20 years ago or 15 years ago called Regret to Inform, which is a brilliant film about the women's, what happens to women in the Vietnam War. It's very, very well done as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I believe I have a glimpse into what it's like to be a victim of war.
Well, it also occurs to me that you've been dealing with trauma, which is something that happens after. And although this is also something that happens after, through highlighting this stuff, some of it can be prevented.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I hope will happen with the film. And we're also doing a longer film about the same subject, only more comprehensive. And that's what I hope happens, that people become aware of this really important thing. It's, you know, when we hear about deaths in this country, we get appalled, but this is happening every week there.
These are still deaths from an undeclared war 40 years ago.
Exactly.
These are still, the body count is still rising.
Yes, exactly.
And we have to think about that when we think about where we currently are.
Exactly. And they, I mean, it's thought that only in one province, in Quang Tri province, where I do a lot of the work and the film, that 7,000 people have died since the war. And that was in 2009 they took that figure. So that's, you know, but
that's a significant amount.
It is. It really is.
And it would certainly be a significant amount if it were American lives.
Exactly, yes. So it is a big problem, and before these NGOs started going there in the late 90s, people would languish for years with no medical care, sometimes no medical care or very little. And so it is a huge improvement that the victims assistance groups are there. But I just hope that we become aware of it, and maybe we could support them with more financial support, or, and the State Department does donate now to Clear Path International, which is a great thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But hopefully we can raise awareness and maybe not bomb people in the future.
Yes, the mindfulness around bombing.
Exactly.
Bring some attention to that. Right. You know, be nice.
Yeah, yeah. People can think, oh, humans are going to be shattered by this, their lives forever. You know, that will be a good thing to understand.
Because it also, as we see in many conflicts, goes on for generations and generations. And this is one of the ways, you know, it leaves a lasting legacy, and a legacy of harm and trauma and possibly hatred, you know, fomenting and returning.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. And it just reverberates and reverberates on and on. And it's, if it were right in front of us, we would be appalled, but because it's far away and they're little foreign people, you know, that we will never know, it doesn't bother us as much. And that's what I also hope that happens with the film, is that I bring them closer and we see.
And if people in the UK, when are you going? I understand you're going to be in Edinburgh. So when are you going to be in Edinburgh?
Yeah, that's
with the film?
June. I forget actually the date.
In June. Look it up. Well, you'll see it on our website.
Yeah.
And also, will you provide us information if people want to get involved with Clear Path or the other organizations?
Yeah, they can contact me. Mm-hmm. You have my contact information.
It'll all be there.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
Yes.
Joan, thank you so much for your interview today.
Thank you so much, Donna, for interviewing me.
Vietnam, he was 19.